Good morning. Happy Easter. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. We pray, Almighty God, by the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus, you conquered death and opened the gate to eternal life. Grant that we who have been raised with him through baptism may walk in the newness of life and ever rejoice in the hope of sharing his glory. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be dominion and praise now and forever. Amen. The introduction today starts with this question. Do you know how to sing the blues? Now that probably is a strange question to ask for Easter Sunday, but bear with me. Back at the turn of the century, the 20th century, a new form of music emerged from the coal mines and the cotton fields of the South. It was sad, soulful music based on the experience of people who lived hard times, and it was called the blues. A professor of blues wrote a comprehensive and a humorous guide called How to Sing the Blues. And here are some of his thoughts. He says some people can, and some people can't sing the blues. A person who breaks their leg while skiing in Aspen, they cannot sing the blues. But a person losing their leg to a gator in the Louisiana swamp, they certainly can. Dying in a bar fight, that would be a blues death. Dying while having liposuction, that's not. It's all right to sing the blues if you drive a Chevy, or even if it's an old Caddy. It's not all right, though, if you drive a BMW or any other kind of SUV. And you cannot wear a suit and sing the blues, unless you happen to be an old person and you slept in the suit. So the question is, can you sing the blues? By this guy's definition, I believe that the women who went out to the tomb on Easter Sunday morning certainly could. And so could those disciples who were moping around in the locked room in Jerusalem in that Easter evening. Especially the disciple Peter could. And do you know what? If the grave of Jesus is still being used as a grave by Jesus, we could all sing the blues. Our theme today is the risen Christ is God's answer to the blues. The scripture I want to read before we talk about our lesson is from Mark 16. We'll read the first 9 verses. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. When Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven 7 demons. This is the word of our Lord. What is the cause of the blues? Well, perhaps, maybe some of you have purchased some spices to help prepare whatever dish you're going to serve this Easter. Well, how would you like to be buying spices to prepare a dead body for a funeral? That's what Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, were doing. They bought spices so they might go and anoint Jesus' body. That would make you sing the blues. It would make me sing the blues. The death of Jesus hit these women hard. He had changed their lives, especially Mary Magdalene. She was the one that, we're told, Jesus had driven seven demons out of her. He had put faith in her heart. And from that moment on, this woman and all the other women followed Jesus in good times as well as in bad times, all the way to the cross and then to the tomb. And as they were on their way, what did they think of? Who's going to roll the stone away? What a way to start your day, huh? Buying spices that they might go anoint the body. And then, with a very sad, somber walk, you go through to a cemetery. Mary and the other women represent all the people who have ever sung the blues because of death. In other words, these women on the way to the tomb that Easter morning represent all of us. We've all lost a loved one. We've all taken that walk to the grave at the cemetery. We all know how those women were feeling because we have felt it ourselves. Death can cause the blues. And there is someone else who could sing the blues that day, and that would have been Peter, especially Peter. He had let down his best friend when his best friend needed him the most. Denying Jesus was a terrible sin. And now Peter was paying a terrible price. And that is the companion of sin, its guilt. We've all been where Peter's been. We've let Jesus down. We have denied him with our words, our actions, or our lack of words and actions. We've sinned against him again and again. And we end up feeling like smucks. Guilty. And like Peter singing the blues. Today we rejoice because God has an answer to the blues. An answer for the Marys, for Peter, and the others, and for you and me. What is Jesus' answer to the blues? Well, there are three truths to God's answer to blues. First of all, it comes in three big, bold, beautiful words. He has risen. We're told as they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side. He said, "You're looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He has risen." Harry Houdini, the great escape artist, claimed that he would come back to life after he had died. And his wife kept the candle burning by his picture for 10 years. And then finally she blew it out. She said that 10 years was long enough to wait for any man. Harry never was able to raise himself from the dead, because only God can do that. Jesus is not in the grave because, as true God, he had the power to rise from the grave. And the women who came early to the tomb heard that angel's message. He is not here. He is risen. The disciples who gathered in that room later that evening and the following Sunday, they heard Jesus say, "Peace be with you." And remember what Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." Jesus is true God, and only God can raise people from the dead. And the second truth of God's answer to the blues is that we're forgiven forever. God had a right to be angry with us because we broke his law. My mom had a right to be angry with me when I didn't always do things what she would want me to do, which I should have been doing. A teacher has the right to be angry, and so does God. We call that sin with God. But instead of taking out his anger on us, he took it on his son. What Jesus said on Friday means exactly what it says. It is finished. And God doesn't just forgive, He forgets. He destroys the evidence. He clears the ledger, the computer. God refuses to keep a list. When we ask for forgiveness, God doesn't pull out his yellow legal pad and say, "Well, I think I've already forgiven you 58 times for that sin. I can't do it anymore." No, he says, "I will remember your sins no more." And yes, God does that, but you know what? We sometimes have a trouble forgetting. If you're like me, you forget sometimes how those sins are forgiven because you remember that horrid lie or the time you exploded in anger or the day you were needed but you didn't respond or the unkindness to your kids or the less than loving response to your spouse. When Satan tempts us to remember those things and think like they're not forgiven, look at Calvary's cross. Look at Easter's tomb. Listen to the psalmist's words. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is God's love to those who fear him. We are forgiven forever. And there's a third truth. Let's go back to our scripture lesson that I began our service with. And notice that two names resurface at the end. Those two were singing the blues. It was Peter and Mary Magdalene. First of all, the angel said, "Go tell his disciples and Peter." And then when Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene. First of all, Peter. Peter represents all of us. All of us who have denied our Savior with our sins. Jesus' love and his forgiveness assures us that there is a place for us in his kingdom. And until we get to heaven, we have the greatest purpose God can give a human being, and that is to serve him with our lives. And Mary, oh man, of all the people that Jesus could have picked, his mom, maybe the Apostle John, Jesus chose to appear to Mary first on that Easter morning. My friends, like Mary, our lives too can become very tough at times. Life can treat us very cruelly, perhaps even brutally. And we can forget that we have hope. Man, the hope of the risen Christ is with us. The risen Savior gives us the hope that someday we're going to leave behind the hurts and the fears of this world to enter the joy of heaven. That's what we have to look forward to. And that hope is what gives us and helps us to get through the darkest of times. And that hope is more than just a wish. It is real. It is certain. Because our hope lives. Because Christ lives. Easter tells us Jesus lives. The victory's won. And finally, many years ago, there was Pastor Reverend Robert Burns serving a church in Philly. The church had just bought an adjacent lot in which to expand their parking lot. There was a small patch of lilies that had been growing in that lot for years. Well, the paving company came in, they bulldozed that land, including those lilies. Next, they asphalted the lot. And soon the congregation was using that new lot as a brand new parking lot. But that following spring, something very strange began to happen. The asphalt began to buckle and crack. And sure enough, lilies were poking up through the asphalt. That's what Resurrection Day is all about. Life is stronger than death, and hope is stronger than hurt. You can bury life in the ground, but sooner or later, it will spring up again and live in beauty and glory forever. That's what Jesus says. I am the resurrection and life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We pray, glorious Jesus, we have gathered here today like the first believers did at your tomb. We have the advantage of knowing the rest of the story, and so we rejoice with no doubt in our hearts. You rose from the dead just like you said you would, and so we do not have to fear death or punishment in hell. Help us to fully know the love you have for us and how we can live our lives to your glory and our benefit. In your risen name, we pray this prayer and the prayer you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. God bless you. God bless your day. Once again, happy, blessed Easter to you and your family.